What's going on, guys? Welcome to the latest episode of River City 93, brought to you by Rough Mix Cars, Icarus FC, and of course, For the Culture. This is your host, as always, Elliot Barr, and is joining me is two guys that probably made the best predictions of week one. This is Mr. Matt and Shanir. How you doing, guys?
I'm doing great. Doing great. I'm happy.
Doing good. 3 goals, 3 points. What's not to like?
Nothing. You know, everything went great. We got new jerseys. They look fantastic.
Yeah,
we got 3 goals. Oh, yeah. The jerseys. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But before we kick off, you know, first of all, we want to put out well wishes out there to Ian Antley. His injury, as soon as it happened, man, my heart dropped. Because it was the same knee, right?
I think so. I think it was the same knee.
Yeah, as soon as it happened, man, I was just like, oh, this is not good. He couldn't put any weight on it or anything.
I'm not like a doctor or any kind of like medical person, but isn't it almost in a way better if it is the same knee? Because it's like, you know, not something that would have to be totally reconstructed again, whereas if it's the other knee, you could totally have to, you know, blow it. I feel like I've seen something about that in other sports before where, you know, you almost want it to be just the same re-injury rather than something different.
First of all, man, you're not a doctor? That's what we brought you on the show to be, an analyst and a doctor for us.
Don't got that degree yet.
But yeah, I think that is how it goes. Once again, this is not a medical show. You should not take our medical advice seriously. So please do not think tearing your ACL is going to grow it 2 times as stronger. But yeah, man, start of the game. First of all, let's back up. Let's talk about this lineup. Most important, I was really thrown off by one particular like lineup where one particular person was lined up at. But outside of that, it's kind of the 11 that we thought about.
Yeah, I told y'all what lineup was going to be.
Look, man, just because you got 2 predictions right, the most important 2 predictions, I give you that. I'll give you your time to post and close.
Yeah, I mean, I think the lineup, you could tell the guys that started to work together. It's still early in the season. You know, they're going to continue to grow and, you know, you find fits. And I mean, I think it's probably likely that it'll change next week, in part because, you know, Ian, I'd be shocked he's back, you know, within, you know, a week, you know, after what looks like, even if it's a slight injury, I don't think you want to risk it early in the year. But you know, that's why, you know, Darren's built up, you know, that level of bench that we got too. So
yeah, that having that depth on the bench was very key and very important. Because what was it? Ian got hurt around the 25th minute, right?
Yeah,
if you research me right.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah. And our handy dandy man, Luke Pavone, comes in with this mask. Well, first of all, this mask is like glorious, and I love it.
are we going to agree just to call him the Phantom now?
I'll prove that. Hey, I'll prove that.
I like that. I like that. The Phantom.
Yeah. Also, with us not being able to watch preseason at all, like, I now know what Zaka plays because in my head, I thought he was like a central midfielder, an attacking mid. Nope, he is the CDM, and he is the only one playing CDM because I don't know what it was, man. Because I really thought he was going to be like a central midfielder. I thought Victor was going to be like the CDM like he was last year, and Victor pushed further up the field. Let me ask y'all about that. Like, how do y'all feel about Victor being further up the field versus where he was last year?
I mean, I like it. I like him further up the field. He can give a little more than just the midfield defensive duties of protecting the back line. He can also, you know, be a distributor in the midfield and work more of an 8 than a 6, which I think fits him. I mean, I personally think it fits him pretty well. He had a pretty good game. I liked his performance. With the engine he has playing as an 8 seems to make sense for me.
What about you, Matt? Any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I think that you know, the two of them complement each other really well. You know, Victor's, you know, a lot more, you know, kind of fluid, you know, in style. You know, you watch him, you know, we know he's fast, but he's one of those guys who doesn't look fast, but he's got a good stride. You know, doesn't really, you know, make a mistake, you know, with the ball at his, you know, feet a lot of the times. I think, you know, really understated, you know, style. And you know, certainly we can see that, you know, Shaneer said that he can distribute, and we'll talk about that with that first goal, you know, when we get to that in a few minutes. You know, and that's going to, you know, complement really well with Zaka, who's just like, you know, Tasmanian devil, you know, tearing through, you know, the central midfield, tearing through anyone and everything that, you know, comes his way. Goes by. He can play with the ball too, you know, certainly. I mean, you know, see him going up, he's, you know, taking all of our corners, everything, you know, like that. So, I think those two will work together really well. I don't think it's going to be a system where it's going to be like, you know, one is, you know, the pure defensive midfielder, one's the pure box to box. I think they're going to probably, you know, rotate, you know, trade it off a little bit, especially as you build familiarity. But I'm encouraged so far.
Yeah, there's a lot to be encouraged by. I mean, definitely with the zero shots on goal, also how the fluidity of the play is going around. Another thing that kind of surprised me, talking about the style of play, most of us pretty much thought like this is going to be like Derek going into that high press, you know, being up the field first and forcing the other team into mistakes, like high up the pitch. It didn't really seem like that. In the first 15 minutes or so, it was kind of like the kickers just decided, all right, we're just going to play this mid block. And when you lose possession of the ball, that's where we're going to press. And then from there, we're going to be on a counterattack. But they can never really get the counterattack going because, once again, this is the first game of the season. But also, like, a lot of these passes that they were trying to ping up top to Hernan, it seemed kind of sloppy at first. Any of your thoughts about that?
I mean, it wasn't perfect. It was game one. But, I mean, there's selective, you know, high pressing. Like, they weren't going all out every time up front. But I can certainly remember at least three or four times, you know, where they were able to pick the ball off of, you know, their an errant pass from a defender, you know, on New England side or, you know, one of their deep line midfielders, and, you know, boom, they're quickly on, you know, a, you know, 4-on-3, 5-on-4, you know, type of break. And, you know, a little bit more crispness with that'll help out. And, you know, being able to, you know, turn more of those into goals down the road. So I think the counterattacking is there. It's just gonna be a matter, you know, of you know, sitting in and, you know, having those selective moments and hitting that the right time.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of the sloppiness in the first few minutes of the game is due to, you know, first game jitters. They're still trying to get used to that system, even though they've had preseason. Now this is the actual performance, and it's going to take a few minutes for them to settle in. And I think after about halfway through the first half, they started to kind of get comfortable in that system. They started to get comfortable in what they were doing, and they seemed a little more relaxed. They seemed a little more at ease and more aware of where they were going.
Yeah, that really seemed like to be the thing. It seemed like in defensively, it was kind of like that 4-2-3-1 that became a substitute, but in attacking, I wouldn't say it was a three in the back. It never really felt like that, but it was more of we're going to spread out the opposing players and pretty much look for lanes in between space. But if that doesn't work, we're going to, you know, I don't want to say hoof it up long to Hernan, but hoof it up long to Hernan, which, by the way, I have to say, like, his hold up play. Homeboy is strong. Like,
oh,
he held the ball well. The hairline not there. Like, the hairline not there. But that hold up play is gold.
Yeah. No, yeah, I know. That's one thing that I feel we've always had kind of sorts of someone who can do that hold up type of play. We had that last year with Luke playing up top, even though he wasn't banging in goals. He was providing that hold up play. But I feel at this point, Hernan Gonzalez is definitely going to be able to give us the best of both. He had some half chances, and I think as the season goes on, we'll see more of him. We'll see more chances from him, especially the more he links up with Terzaghi. But his hold up play was top notch.
Yeah, I mean, how many times did he drop back into the midfield and just be able to, you know, grab the ball, you know, release pressure back to Emmy, back to Victor, back to, you know, whoever, you know, he needed to be able to connect with, to be able to, you know, allow them to, you know, push it forward up to Bulldog, up to Bolaños, and, you know, get that attack, you know, going with a quickness.
Yeah, especially if I was talking about her name, let's go ahead and break down this first goal. That, man, I gotta say, I want to get you guys' reaction to it. Did you think Hernan meant to give the ball off to Bolaños, or was it like Bolaños just took it up right off of him and was like, I'm going to go score my first goal of the year?
Yeah, I think he's generous to call it that he got an assist on that. I think he trapped the ball, and then you know, Johnny just was like, nah, I got the better angle. I'm just taking this from you and going. I don't even know if Hernan fully knew that, you know, he was there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think I think we have two aspects of this. I mean, with Hernan, I think like you said, Matt, I don't think he knew Bolaños was coming. But one thing in that particular situation with the ball moving from one flank across and Gonzalez receiving that ball and it's going out to his left, I think we were better off with Bolaños taking that ball from him, because in that situation, Gonzalez, first of all, he was a little flat on his feet. So I don't think if he tried to keep that ball, he was going to be able to turn the corner around that defender to take the shot. But Bolaños is coming in at pace and he just flew and he just took the ball with him as he went by. There's no way the defender can react to that and get it in the way of the shot that Bolaños then has an opening to take.
Yeah, even with that, I genuinely don't think that if, you know, Gonzalez, you know, tried to pass the ball to Bolaños, the play would have come off right, because, you know, Bolaños, you know, ran into it perfectly and was able to take a touch to set himself up. And there's a huge difference between taking touch to set yourself up and then versus having to, you know, hit it first time, you know, coming off a ball that somebody played to you. You know, so whether intentional or not, it worked out. Obviously, it worked out well for us.
Yeah, most definitely. And how confident do you have to be in order to not only take that ball in stride off of your own teammate, but then chip it over him? Like, you, that takes some confidence, man. That is some confidence. And I'm not going to lie. Like, so this past week I was in Charlotte at my in-law's house, and I pretty much yelled at the top of my lungs to where my mother-in-law ran in and was like, are you okay? Who's dying? I was like, no one. I'm good. But yeah, man. It was also funny when it was slowing down the replay. If you look at Hernan's face, it's kind of like that face of like, oh, you're here? Like, and I think he doesn't realize like Bolaños is this quick. And once again, the chip was amazing. I love the chip from him. But then...
Sorry to cut you off, but to bring that up, I do feel that it's going to take a couple of games for Gonzalez to adapt to the pace of the USL League One game, because I do feel that he was a bit slow in his movement, in his touches, in his movement with and without the ball. And like in this situation, you could see like his reaction is so slow that Bolaños is like, I got this, let me take it, you know? So I think it'll take a little bit. I'm not too concerned about it. I think 2-3 games and Gonzalez is going to be tearing it up, but I do feel it's going to take him a while to keep up, to get with that pace, because our front line, with when you look at players that we have like Olix and Bolaños and even Terzaghi, there is pace involved here, and I do feel that he is on the slower end of that front.
Yeah, I would say after that first goal, it kind of felt like Richmond kind of – it's like you could see the relaxation kind of kicking in. They were like, all right, now we can play a little bit looser. We can play – not looser, I should say, but a little bit more freer. You can see Emmy and Matt kind of leaking up play on that left-hand side. Matt didn't – I wouldn't say he was involved a lot in this match, but he did a job where it allowed Emmy and Hernan to kind of come more centrally and to kind of spread the New England defense out a little bit more, because they only really had one CDM in the middle of that part. So they kind of, I hate to say it, but they kind of ganged up on that kid and kind of made his life hell. And then right before halftime,
before we move on, can we take a step back on this? You know, we need to talk about that pass Victor Falk, you know, sent, you know, 50 yards, you know, cross field that, you know, fell right to Hernan.
Yes. This is why I brought you on the show, man. It was. Yo, yeah. I've been saying this, man. Victor Flock is the sweetest parallel. Like, his vision for that kind of pass, first and foremost, it was on the money. It was on the money.
That was the easiest pass to receive right there. He put it right on his foot. That was beautiful. Look, more of that, please. More of that this season, and we're going to be ripping teams to shreds. With passes like that, with delivery like that.
Yeah, and that's not a fluke either, because I cannot remember which game it was, but you know, one of the home games last year, we didn't end up scoring at the end of the play, but played about a 50-yard ball from the center circle, perfectly onto whoever was playing right back, that game, put down in the corner, led to a really good shot. I'm sure it's probably Emmy who shot it because he was taking all of our shots last year, I remember that moment. I was like, oh damn, I didn't know he had that in him. And then on Saturday, bust that same club back out again. Drops that 9-iron right on foot. Nice little skill to have in the back pocket.
That's probably why he's playing central midfielder now for us instead of CDM. but let's go ahead and let's get into the second goal right before halftime. Matt, I'm gonna let you take this one because you called it last week. I'm going to start calling you Master Domus, because that's your new name on the show, because not only did you call the lineup, not only did you call Monty having this breakout game, you also called Zaka getting a yellow card.
I think the Zaka one was probably the easy one to call. we're in 45th plus 2 plus 3, something like that. Get another corner kick. As Kickers fans know, the last few years, corner kicks not been our friend at all in any way. I think we might have like one full, Victor scored one last year. Torres scored one the year before. The fact that we can count out exactly which ones they were, says enough about it. But how many have we given up over the years? It's been brutal.
Too many. And they all happen to be in Section O, and the guy just turns around and looks at us like, I did it.
Yeah, it's awful.
Oh, gosh.
It's awful. But so this time, Zaka is taking our corner kicks, floats one in, and I still couldn't totally tell if it was just a pure goalkeeper whiff. It was Hernan getting a little bit of a touch on it to redirect it down, if it was just them kind of coming together. But Earl Edwards, the New England keeper, goes out for it, doesn't get it. Hernan's up there challenging them, and the ball falls right into Monty's foot. As he's running through and has about the easiest goal you'd ever imagine, just has to let it hit him and it goes right into the corner, literally the last touch of the half.
Yeah.
What a better way to go into halftime, than demoralizing an opponent, putting them down 2.
Yeah.
Those are the situations that you want to have as a team, especially either if you're 0-0 right before the half and you score that goal, or you're up 1-0 and you double your lead right before the end of the first half. Because imagine yourself, New England Revolution 2's coach, and you're thinking to yourself, all right, you're setting up a plan to talk to the team about, all right, we're only 1-0 down, we can do something about it. So you have your halftime talk set up, and literally right before the whistle blows for them to go back into the locker room, oh, it's not 1-0, it's 2-0. That completely changes the game plan. And I mean, in that situation, I think, like you said, Matt, it's part an unforeseen deflection, part a goalkeeper mess up. Because I mean, at the end of the day, in that situation, if at the last second you don't feel that you're going to be able to catch it, you punch it. You don't just put a hand on it and then have it just drop right in the danger zone. Because literally, Monty doesn't do anything but just run into the ball. Like, literally, he just runs into the ball. He doesn't even take a foot up to try and touch it. He just runs into it. And that's I mean, as a on a set piece, that's what you want. You just want to get something on it and put it towards the goal. And in that situation, I mean, that's the best situation you can have. So now we go in at halftime 2-0 up. it's almost done and dusted, and while the other team now has to change their mentality, change their the halftime talk literally seconds before they go into the locker room.
Those kind of dirty goals, for lack of a better way of putting it, like those are the ones that you see do the really, you know, good premier teams in any league in the world, you know, finding their way to, you know, on a, you know, somewhat regular basis. Not always, you know, the glamour goals like, you know, the first one and the next one we'll talk about. It's those, you know, kind of you know, the scrappy, you know, goals that you know, come out of, you know, nowhere because you end up in the right spot. They're not pretty. They're not, you know, going to show up in any kind of you know, YouTube mix or anything, but they all count.
This is very true. This is very true. But what I was going to say, was pretty much, it just looked like Hernan's main job was just to interfere with the goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper just missed it. But you guys are explaining it well enough, so we'll move on ahead. Pretty much, do you think, was Darren's words going in the halftime pretty much this time? It's like, just keep everything the same, just play consistent. I will say this, I felt like in the second half, the early part of the second half, we came out a little bit more relaxed, but I mean, it's a two-goal lead. I would have liked us to see get more possession of the ball, but maybe that's not how Darren sets up his team, you know, with the two-goal lead going in the halftime.
I think literally going into halftime, wouldn't be surprised if Darren basically told the guys, all right, tighten it up on defense. Let's just keep things clean in the back. You know, let's keep playing our game. If we can keep possession, we can keep possession. If not, just make their lives a living hell as they're moving up the field towards our goal. Just make sure they have to fight for literally every yard almost. And you could see that in the second half. Like, New England, they were trying everything. I think Akira was more busy in the first half than he second half. It's almost like I forgot we except like, oh, we're taking the goal kick. Yeah, Akira's in there. You know, so you had those situations, and I mean, it was a shock to see that we're reaching like the 85th minute, and I hear the commentator saying New England have not yet had a shot on goal, and I'm like, oh, that is true to make us. I think in the first half, he had to come out and kind of play sweeper keeper in certain situations, come out and collect a ball or two. But in the second half, it was really, really, really quiet for him.
Yeah, it was. It was quiet for him. I think, I mean, like you said, he didn't face a shot on target. I think the second half, he never really even faced like a dangerous shot. I think the most he had to do was pretty much a goal kick. And that's even with New England, I think at one point having 75% of the possession, because Richmond was just like, all right, we're just going to sit back and you make a mistake, we're going to count on you. We're not going to put ourselves in a position where we get stretched too far thin. I mean, there were moments where Richmond would counter attack, get down the field, and New England would counter attack to us. And then they would kind of be in possession. But outside of that, Akira didn't face any danger that I can remember in the second half at all. Matt, anything you want to add to that, my man?
No, I mean, was there any point in the game where you actually stopped and thought, oh, crap, they're going to score? I never thought they were going to score on us.
Well, Matt, see, I always had the nervous bubble in my stomach. I did not miss it at all. And I forgot what it felt like to have that nervous bubble in my stomach during a Kickers game. But it was nice to see the Kickers actually play very competent defense and keep a clean sheet and score multiple goals like we were unable to do last year.
Yes, I mean, I think it was just an overall like, really strong, you know, defensive performance. Like, we kept shaped well, you know, throughout. I mean, you had, you know, Zach and Victor, you know, helping to clog up the midfield. You know, Ivan and, you know, Jalen in the center of defense, they were great, you know, together. You know, Jalen got stuck in and, you know, scrapping around, you know, kind of, you know, messing with every, you know, loose ball out there. You know, not necessarily what you would think for the, you know, big, you know, 6'4" defender. You think that's more, you know, for the Ivan, you know, but Ivan was, you know, busy, you know, clearing out, you know, anything that, you know, came through, you know, tight man marking. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, Ivan got the captain's armband, so that answers that question, you know, for us of, you know, who's wearing it this year. I think it's a good choice.
Yeah, I saw that, and at first I was like, I was trying to figure out who had the armband because I missed, like, the starting lineup, because in my head, I thought this game started at 5:30. And my dog is really excited that Ivan is the captain, of course. But it's good to see. I mean, the work that he put in last year, he definitely deserved the captain's armband and everything like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he's got seniority with the team. He's in a position where there's a little bit more natural leadership, with the group now. He's one of the older guys, in his mid-20s, at this point. So I think it makes a lot of sense. I think we talked about this last episode, or maybe it was off air, where would have felt a little weird if Akira had the captain's armband, being on staff too. So I think Ivan, so far so good with Captain Ivan.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and break down this. Shiner's back. There you go, Shiner. You can talk.
Yeah. No, Ivan had a very solid performance, and I've always been a firm believer that if you don't have to hear too much about what a center back is doing on the pitch, they're doing a good job. I mean, because of the fact that he wasn't overly involved with any, last ditch defending or goal line clearance or last ditch tackle or anything of that sort, lets you know that he shored it up in the back. Like he led that back line very well.
Yeah, he did an amazing job back there with Chrysler too, who had, I believe, a goal line save as well. Or maybe not a goal line save, but, he stopped the chance from getting shot on goal. But this last goal is probably the most exciting goal. The goal that probably means the most. Right before this, make sure that if you haven't already, if you can, make sure you go to the Richmond Kickers website. Make sure you donate to the St. Vincent and Grenadines Foundation. Everything that's happened over there, we want to wish them the best. But to see Mr. Olex, did I get it right, Matt? Olex? Yes.
I think you got it right.
Okay, I'll take that. to see Mr. Olex score a goal in the 93rd minute, pretty much Akira right now has an assist, and I love it. I think that's one of the coolest things in soccer is a goalkeeper assist, and he pretty much just punts his ball down the field. I think he's just like, get this ball away from me. We're trying to run out of this clock. And Anderson, as I like to call him, Sweet Feet, pretty much is like, I think I can get to this. And pretty much runs onto it, chips it up over the keeper into the back of the net, and it's a third goal. Any other – what do you guys think about it?
I mean, that was typical Olex. I mean, the pace, the composure, and just the gall, just the gall to just chip the keeper like that. And just stay seated on the floor, on the pitch, and watch it go over the keeper and bounce into the goal. I mean, that was beautiful. It was beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah, it was great. And you consider having the motor and the drive to just even chase after that ball, because look, it's a keeper punting the ball out over everyone's head in the 93rd minute when there's only 3 minute stoppage. It could have been really easy for him to just say, all right, well, this is making it all the way back to their keeper. Just let it go. I'll fall in, get into shape and everything. But no, he went after it. And, the Revolution defender, clearly, thought that he wasn't going to get caught. So he just goes for the nice little header back to his keeper. And then, oops, look who's in between all of a sudden. And, like you said, Shiner, nice chip, easy. Finish just watching it float into the goal, and what a better way to finish off first game of the season.
Yeah, it's a great way to finish off. I came close to my prediction that we would score 4 goals in a game, but either Emmy or Hernandez, I don't think I feel good with my prediction. But 3 goals, you can't go bad with that. Also 3 points in a row and a clean sheet away. So that's the positives of that, man. Any final thoughts on this game before we move on into our preview of Greenville?
No, I mean, yeah, you're pretty close. You were pretty close for your four goal prediction, but we've got plenty more games, and it looks like these guys are hungry for goals. I mean, and this performance just showed how the Kickers can play and how we can dominate. And because even though we did not dominate possession, we let them. That was part of our game. We let them have the ball, and we said, we're just going to punish you. We're going to put, when we get the ball, we're going to punish you. when we don't have the ball. Yeah, you can have it all you want. You're not getting any clear cut chances on our goal, because most of the shots that were taken didn't go anywhere near the goal, and they were like hit and hope type shots. So it's basically the kickers literally boxed New England out of this game.
Yeah, I mean, those the kind of shots they had were the kind where you give them to them. If they can score on those, more power to them. You'll take your chances with those shots every day of the week. But overall, yeah, I mean, really not much you can complain about. I mean, you really want to get like nitpicky. Yeah, maybe there were like a couple of, you know, loose passes in the midfield that, you know, a better team might have been able to punish a little bit more. But again, game one, the defense was able to recover well in those spots, so I'm not really too worried about it. And you know, can you think of, you know, any of the, you know, 15 players who played who you classify as having anything other than a good game? I can't. I mean, maybe, you know, Vickers in his 30-second cameo at the end, you know, doesn't move from okay up to good, but...
Yeah. Yeah. Vickers came on. I was just like, oh, you get 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, but I, again, with you know, some of those passes going astray, some touches going astray, I equated that to also we have to take into consideration the pitch. I mean, it was AstroTurf, but it was very sticky AstroTurf. You could see every time that ball bounced, you saw like a cloud of little black pellets flying up. And I saw actually there were a lot of balls that were played. The ball almost stuck to the turf rather than taking that skip that it normally would on regular grass. And, you know, at City Stadium, it's grass. It's actual grass. They're training on grass fields, not on turf fields. And that's a very, very different game when you're playing on AstroTurf.
Shanair, is this your old man yelling at the clouds moment?
No, it's not my old man yelling at the clouds moment. It's nostalgia, because I've actually was on Gillette Stadium's pitch when they had grass, when it was immaculate and beautiful, and I don't know why they switched over to that crap.
Well, hey, look, the only switch that matters is you switched over from them to the good guys.
I guess. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Own it. You're a Kickers fan.
I mean, they'll always be a place in my heart. Look, there'll always be a place in my heart for New England Revolution. I'm a Taylor Twellman fan. I'm a Clint Dempsey fan. I'm, you know, all of those guys. Shaury Joseph, Matt Reese. I grew up on those guys. So there's always going to be a place in my heart for that club. But, I mean, look, it's where you at is what counts. And where I'm at right now is with the Kickers.
So, let me ask you this question. If it came down to like a U.S. Open Cup final between us and New England Revolution, who are you rooting for? Neutral ground. Stadium doesn't matter.
Look, it doesn't matter where I'm at. I'm rooting for the Reds to win 3-0. Okay?
You said Reds or Revs? Which one?
Reds. R-E-D-S.
Okay.
I'm looking for the Kickers. Look, up the ruse. Up the ruse all day now.
I feel like you're just saying it. Oh, we got Greenville coming up, guys. Look, if there's any game that could really prove that the Kickers are about it this year, I think it's this one. And it's probably way too early to say, like, this is a must-win game, but I believe this is, like, a cornerstone game, not only because it's the health insurance derby, but also because Greenville are your League One champions. People at Union Omaha might say they're not, because they might put an asterisk beside it, but they're the League One champions. So a real quick breakdown of Greenville. They got three new arrivals. Don Smart coming from Ford Madison. Marius Loomis is joining from North Carolina FC. And Jacob Goodall, it was a great player at Xavier University. He's joining as well. They did have some key departures, such as Jake Keegan. We know him all too well, as he scored two goals against us in the first game. And also Carlos Gomez. Correct me if I'm wrong, man, but Carlos, he's the one that scores the first goal the last two seasons, right?
No, that's Alex Morrell.
Alex Morrell, okay. Okay, I couldn't remember who it was. All right, and then, the two key players that you need to watch is, of course, Dallas J, who was USL's Golden Glove winner last year for both 2019 and 2020. And like that aforementioned, Alex Morrell. And John Harkes, I swore I thought John Harkes was going to get that Atlanta United job. But when I saw that he resigned for a third year on, to let me know that he is there for the long haul, he's really building his team up. So with all that being said, guys, what are your thoughts on Greenville? How do you think we line up? How do you think we play? You know, is it going to be the same kind of cut and paste tactics from Revsu, or is Darren Weiss going to play this a little bit differently?
I think we may have to play it a little differently, because we do know that Greenville, they're a more established squad than New England Revolution 2. They have more firepower. They're proven champions. You know, at the end of the day, yes, there wasn't a playoff, but at the end of the day, when all the dust is cleared, when all the games are played, they had the most points, and they ran away with the league very early on last season. And with that being said, we need to be careful. Granted, we are one of the few teams that did beat them last year in the season, and so we have that. We have that clout to go into this game with confidence, but not to be too confident and not to try and play them the way we played with Revolution 2 would probably be the best way to go about it. Maybe go for a little bit more possession, try and use our firepower a little bit more to put them on the back foot, because I think with Greenville, what you want to do is force them to be on the back foot, force them to have to think about maybe trying to counterattack, maybe trying to sit back, rather than them being focused on putting the ball in the back of your net.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a variation in shape. I think, you know, ever since Darren got here, we've been pretty consistent with playing that 4-3-3. You know, but we've seen it, I don't want to say intensity. I don't think that's the right word for it. But I think being able to look at how, aggressive and how passive it is, game to game. And I think even last year, most, home games, you saw that your team come out a little, a bit more aggressive with a little bit higher pressing than they would on the road. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of that this time around. I think the possession stats last game just ended up being more of a function of the game. The second half, we didn't need the ball at all. So there wasn't a real big need to chase after it and string together pass after pass after pass after pass. So I would be stunned if those possession numbers are anywhere close to the same again. But keep this in mind. Greenville Triumph. I've never gotten a point at City Stadium. John Harkes has never won a match as a coach at City Stadium, even going back to his Cincinnati days. So our team is capable. Yes, they won the league last year. Yes, they're a very good team. There's no reason for this team to be afraid of them at all. We've proven time and time again that we can be able to play with them. Matt Bolduc, I think, still has his personal Tyler Pollock, collection of, burned scarecrows, whatever you want to call them, collected, from both games last year where he absolutely dusted that dude en route, to goals. So why change,
He burns him twice. Yeah. If there's any way to show, how fast Matt is, it's those two games, man. He burned that man twice. I think one time you put him in a spin cycle.
That was glorious. Probably. I think that was the most satisfying thing of the win against Greenville, is when you saw how Matt Bolduc just owned him. He owned him. I mean, you gotta love it. You gotta love it. And Matt Bolduc is gonna be going into this game remembering that. All the kickers are gonna be going into this game, especially the ones that were here last year, remembering that, look, health insurance cup is ours.
and you think that Greenville doesn't remember that? I don't care what anybody says, that stuff does sit with you, and you whether you actively game plan for it or it's in the back of your mind, you're gonna remember, oh crap, I need to give him a couple steps, otherwise it ain't gonna work out well for me. So that's gonna open up space for him ball at his feet instead, most likely. So building up that level of just ownership over, you know, in a one-on-one battle over the years will pay dividends. Am I going to guarantee a win? No. You know, this, they're a good team. You know, certainly they're capable of getting a result, but I believe in the group that Darren's put together, and I think there's also a big benefit in us having played a real game already versus them having this be their season debut. Think back to last year, same exact scenario. Greenville had already played a game. We go down there for our first game and gave them a good fight, but came up a little bit short.
Yeah, most definitely for that, for real. You think Darren changes the lineup at all? Any changes to the lineup? You think everything stays the same, or someone comes in, someone comes out? I mean, of course. Well, there's going to be a change already because of Ian. But outside of that, do you think there'll be any additional changes?
I'm not sure. I'm gonna flip the question to you guys. Who do you think is gonna go in instead of Ian on that side?
Yeah, I assume it's gonna be Luke.
I think it's Luke. Yeah, I think Luke.
Yeah, because Devontae still seems to be rehabbing from his injury, and Calvo not ready yet. I'm using the substitute bench from last week to inform on this, so it's possible one or either of them could be up and ready to go. But Luke got the call last week. He performed pretty well. I don't see any reason to mess with that.
Yeah, that's the thing about Luke. Like, Luke is the kind of player where he's not going to shine in one particular position well, but he's good at multiple positions, if that makes sense. Like,
he's basically our James Milner.
Okay, bringing it back to Richmond, he's basically our Troyer, for lack of a better term. Like, you remember how Troyer could be like the left back? He could be
central or wide, yeah.
Yeah, he could do it wherever.
Yeah. Now, and the other thing with Luke is he's not going to back down from a challenge at all. He will get into the mix with it. I can't remember who it was, but it was sometime in the second half, there's that little scuffle that kind of started in the defensive area. I don't remember who was between. Who was the first guy right up in there, sticking up for his teammate, getting in the opposition's face? Luke Pavone.
He took his mask off and everything.
he's not the biggest guy, but would he be willing to bet that anybody else has a bigger heart with him on the team?
Yeah. No, I don't think there's anyone that can step up to Luke.
Yeah. Yeah. Luke's got heart. He's got heart that makes him big. Yeah.
Yeah. More fun way to think about this and ask about it. You're going out, out with the boys, for the night, and think back to the college days, and there might be a little bit of a scuffle. You want Luke in your crew.
Yeah, Luke's not afraid. I don't think Luke's afraid of pretty much anything on the field. But yeah, this Greenville game is going to be interesting. Kickoff's at, 6:30, I believe? 6:30?
6:30,
yeah. Yeah, on ESPN Plus. So definitely, Kicker Trends, make sure you tune into that. Make sure you come to City Stadium, because not only is it the home opener, it's the first home game. So, the first game of City Stadium is always popping. It's always live. It's an event, We got to sell it out social distancing wise. I feel like that's...
Yeah, sell it out as much as
new term
based
for 2021.
On the capacity. Based on the capacity that we're allowed to have. But... you gotta love the home openers. The home openers, I mean, I live for them. They're awesome. That every year they've just been great. Even last year with the season starting late with COVID, it was still a pretty good atmosphere. And I'm
I don't know what. Yeah, I don't know what it is about. Well, see, this is like the second year in a row. Because last year it was Ford Madison. The year before that, I mean, technically, I don't know if they was trying to put it as a robbery, but it felt like it because Lansing and Knight kept kicking our ass up and down the field.
Oh, yeah.
But it's kind of like we opened up against a big team or as a home opener. We can't just get like a cakewalk. But, I mean, that's what happens. You're one of the best teams in the U.S. in League One.
I mean, last year was a cakewalk. Come on.
Last year we were just happy to have a year. So that's our preview of the Greenville game. But we got to spend some time. This is my personal segment of talking about these jerseys that the Richmond Kickers dropped. Not only does the home jersey reminds us, I think we're going to change our team name to the Richmond Gunners or Gooners. As I've seen this talk on Twitter, but the home jersey, I want to get your guys' opinion on it. What do you guys think about that? Is it a must for you? Is it something you probably pick up later in the year?
The home kit is nice. It's clean. It's fresh. I like it. I really like it. But that away kit is the one I definitely need in my closet, like today. I really, really liked that the home. I mean, for the away kit, that was a big pleasant surprise when I saw that. That was awesome. I definitely missed that kit.
Yeah, they dropped that away kit. They dropped it out of nowhere. Like, because in my head, I was like, oh, well, they haven't said anything about their away kit. Like, so I'm assuming that. My bad. I'm assuming that we're just gonna wear the home kit up there in New England. And lo and behold, like, they dropped this kid out of nowhere. And I have to say, like, me and Matt was talking about it earlier, like, it's not super, like, you know how the wicked, they get really fucking weird with it. It's a basic gray jersey. Like, the kickers in it was even blacked out. But it's the fact of, like, they did something so Richmond that makes it, like, everyone loves it. Like, I was putting it on Facebook and everyone was like, oh, yeah, I need that. Because everyone knows what is Richmond known for. U-Crops. And what is U-Crops known for? The rainbow cookies.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think when, you know, the red, you know, came out, you know, it was beloved, you know, it was, you know, the jersey looks nice on its own, but, you know, the U-Crops logo, it has that bit of, you know, nostalgia for anyone who grew up in the area who's, you know, older than, you know, what, early teenager, something like that. So, you know, all of us, like, I'm in my, you know, late 30s, you know, I grew up, you know, went to U-Crop. You know, that was the story. I didn't even know that grocery stores were open on Sundays for the longest time, you know, because, you know, we went to U-Crops and they were closed on Sundays. So I just thought that all grocery stores were closed on Sundays for forever, right? You know, but the typeface of it, you know, looks, you know, nice and, you know, clean on, you know, the jersey. It, you know, really pops. I mean, I think that's an understated, you know, bit of, you know, just how the fonts and everything can really affect how the look of a, you know, a jersey comes across. So that alone, I think, is going to be good. You know, you saw a lot of people, even when that came out midweek, you were like, oh crap, you know, U-Crops, that's awesome. You know, that's, you know, so Richmond, it's great. But yeah, then, you know, Saturday, you know, when they finally released it, like 6 o'clock or not, I guess not six, the game started at 5, like 4:30 or whenever it was. You know, couldn't really tell it at first. You know, you're like, what are they making a big deal about? It's gray. Then you start to see the little details in the U-Crops lettering. You see the sublimated, you know, rainbow cookies. And again, for anybody who was a little kid and went to the grocery store with their parents, you went straight to that bakery because you're going to, you know, get either a rainbow cookie or one of those little butter cookies. And they're the magic. It's one of those things where I don't know if I want to have one right now because I don't want to, you know, ruin, you know, the memory of what it was like. And, you know, they might just be plain and boring, you know, in reality. But, man, little kid, you couldn't get enough of them.
Nah, I mean, like, so my mom saw the jersey. And she never, once again, I had to do the montage with my mom to make sure this was cool or not. When my mom saw the away jersey, she automatically was like, that's the rainbow cookie. And she started went on this long talk about U-Crops. And I'm like, yep, it's a good jersey. So it passed the mom test.
So the question is, does this mean our third jersey is going to be the White House Rolls jersey?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, that's the other holy grail of U-Crops.
It is.
That or like their pound cake or the chicken salad. If they do the U-Crops lettering with the chicken salad, look, A bill might not get paid. They do a chicken salad kit. Also, Gordon brought up a very important question. If I buy this Rainbow Cookie jersey, do I then get a free thing of Rainbow Cookie? Because if so, those cookies, those jerseys are going to sell like hotcakes.
Or y'all remember a few years ago when, during the game, Kickeroo would just launch White House rolls into the stands? How about Rainbow
Cookies? Oh, they need to launch some cookies. They need to launch some cookies.
They got to be individually wrapped, though. You know, you can't just be throwing random cookies at kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, now that I think about it, it might not be a good idea because fights would be starting in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, my dogs agree with me that the Rainbow Cookies are really good. So, yeah, man, that's it for the jerseys. Bolognos is also up for Player of the Week, I believe, right?
He's up for Goal of the Week. He didn't. Monty officially announced as USL League One Player of the Week earlier today.
That's what it was. I got the two confused. Yeah, Monty won Player of the Week, which deserved it. You're a defender, not only scoring the goal, but having a shutout. More than likely, you're going to get Player of the Week. Bolognos is probably up for Goal of the Week with that chip. Yeah, man, it's a good start for Richmond Kickers. Richmond Kickers fans, man, I think that was a lot of the questions that we were getting. Like, a lot of the fan base seems to be very excited. A lot of the questions is, should I be overexcited? Me personally, it's only the first game. Like, don't get too hype. Like, still, bring it back a little bit, but it's good to be in a positive space.
I'm going to say, be excited. Yeah, it's okay to have that, enthusiasm. It's okay to have that energy going, into the season, because that, is going to feed off of the people that you're around. It's going to feed off you coming to the game. It's going to help build it in the stands. It's going to help your team feel it. It's been a rough, few years in the wilderness. It's okay to be excited. It's okay to get hype. Let's go ahead and embrace it.
Oh man, it has been a couple of rough years in the wilderness for Kickers, but it's good, man. Any final thoughts, guys, before we wrap up this episode? Like, this episode almost didn't end, but it's good to see that we got it in. So any final thoughts before we wrap up and get up out of here?
Buy your tickets. Buy your tickets this Saturday. It's probably going to sell. It's still limited. I wouldn't count on being able to get tickets the day of the game, especially with still being under COVID protocols. The team did a great job in managing all that in the stadium last year. So if you were on the fence last year, I get it. I understand why you wouldn't would have held off, but they did a really, really good job of building a safe atmosphere. There's every reason to think they're going to be able to continue to scale that up as we move forward, as everybody continues to get their vaccines and we move back toward normalcy. So get out there. This team deserves support. They're fun to watch. They're going to be fun to watch. Let's get out there and do what we can do on our end to help them do what they do on their end.
Yeah, I second that, Matt. Just come out to the game. Come out to the City Stadium is a fun place to be for a Kickers game. And I mean, like you said, obviously based off of their performance against New England, this is an exciting team. This is an exciting team to watch. They're playing exciting football. They're really, really, really entertaining the viewers. So, I mean, come out and support. Come out and support as much as you can, because the more you support, I just remember hearing a lot of times, almost every season, you get one or two players will definitely come to us and tell us, look, you guys have really, really make it worth it being out on the field, and you make a difference. You make a difference when they're at City Stadium and they hear everyone cheering, they hear the chants, they hear the drums, they hear the noise. It gets them fired up to play. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the 12th man is only as good as the crowd is, and we've got to be that 12th man. Let's be the best 12th man in League One.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Definitely being that it's been a full year. This time last year, guys, can you believe it that we had zero sports at all? Like, we were watching The Last Dance on ESPN, breaking down film. But, a whole year since that, we're back in the stadium. So, like these guys said, buy your tickets. Make sure you're there. Be loud. Be proud. Wear your colors. So, as always, it's been a pleasure doing the show with you guys.
Yes. Yes. Y'all.
Absolutely, man.
So as always, guys, you can follow us at RiverCity93. You can follow Matt at RB is Red. He is writing articles, so make sure you check him out and support him as well. Shanier does a tweet, so any tweets you have of him, you can probably put them to RiverCity93 and I'll pass them along to him. Guys, I'll see you guys in Greenville. As always, listeners, catch you guys later and catch you guys in the good side. I'll let you later.